Oh, all right. There we go. Well, right here on Fork Sports Highway. I still got a little hollow sound going on here.
Better?
Yeah. A little bit. May 9th, is that today? May 9th, is that your birthday, Bill?
I've heard it is.
I don't know. I'm kind of ill-prepared tonight, working as hard as I do, slaving away out there. It's been tough following all the sports that's been going on. And, you know, I'm a New York fan and the New York Rangers.
Did not know that of you.
Yeah, you never met?
Did not know that of you.
Yeah, Keith being a smart ass. Coming in here, thank God he spent his Super Bowl money on us.
Monopoly, Mike. Super Bowl Monopoly.
Yeah. But
I'm surprised he's still here with Paul.
What?
His money.
Oh, no. Yeah, Bush Light might have been bought by that. There'd be no pizza, just be more Bush Light.
At least two cases.
My gosh.
What? I didn't start. Bill started this.
You want me to do introductions?
Yeah, well, you, why don't you?
All right, well, everyone knows Monty over here. All right. We got Bill, the legend. He's played everything, I guess.
Everything.
I don't know. Birthday boy.
Going 69.
69? Really?
Yeah. Nope. Yes.
Okay. All right. We're going with that. That's what we're going
with. He had to do that, didn't he?
That's what we're going with. Okay.
All right. And who's this guy over here?
Got our number one fan in the house, Keith Cummings. Yay.
Crowd clap,
buddy. Yeah, I would say that he has the most content on our screen.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Well, I'm not here. That's the problem.
I think your headset might be not operable.
What did John Roberts must have got snuff or something on this cable today?
Oh.
What? Did he spill a Bush Light on it or something? Or
no, I don't think
he
so.
He doesn't drink.
Well, you were here. What did he do to it? I still can't hear.
Yeah, we're gonna.
All right, I can hear now.
Okay. Goodness gracious! No,
he took him off.
No, I'm all I hear is hollow. I'm listening to you guys like.
Just when oh, there you go. Now you should hear.
Here, right. Let's better see now. Monty
test,
struggle.
No, I'm still dead.
You're still. I got you.
Do you want to switch headsets?
No.
We can switch spots.
No.
Okay.
I'll let you do this.
Okay.
All
right. No, I still. I'll mess with it. Raven, keep on going over here. You got this
what,
stuff going.
What?
There. That now I heard something for a second there from Keith.
Yeah, I bet, Monty.
I have to hold it. It's, I don't know what this.
It must be a bad. Monty, you just must be a bad connector.
There.
Wait. All right. So I don't know much about sports. So,
Monty, what are your titles for today?
Ah,
this isn't a sports show, is it?
Well, okay.
I wouldn't know.
My derby wrap-up, okay? The T-Wolves stun the Nuggets. The Rangers head to Carolina. And Jokic is MVP. And then Grant Nelson is at a powwow. I don't know what the hell that's all about. But anyway, so I'm still kind of hollow over here, but I have a little bit of sound. So, Raven, did you watch any of the Derby? I know you wanted us to do some horse stuff, but these guys had me so tied up.
You're fine. It was a last-minute thing.
Well, anyway, the Derby wrap-up stuff. Boy. Kentucky Derby wrap-up.
Just want to hear about how your bets went, Monty.
My bets?
We don't care. If we wanted to read about the Kentucky Derby, we would have already done it.
Oh. You know,
we want to know what you and Paul and Dale accomplished.
Well, Dale didn't get squat out of what we put together for him.
God. And he was the one we wanted to win.
I only wagered $20.
Well, we tried to, if any of the bets he put together would have come in, he'd have made some serious money. There's no doubt about that. I bet the Derby day, Kentucky Derby is 14 races. Most people bet. The 12th race was the Derby itself. most people, that's all they know is that race. I bet all day long, and I had multiple different kinds of exotic bets, and nobody knows this stuff any bit more than I do. I don't care where the experts come from. I know this stuff.
Okay, so how much did you win?
I ended up pulling off about $400, so I bet $300 and won $700. So I come out.
Okay.
I still came out ahead, but sense.
It's not bad.
But not what I wanted, okay? Not what I wanted. Okay. And then I had Mr. Kornelka over there wanting me to put his bets together. And you know, so we did put an exotic bet together that was an $81 bet. It was a pick five bet from race 8 through 12. So 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. So pick five. And if he'd hit that, he would have probably paid out about, I don't know, $5,000-$6,000, if not more.
And what race was the Kentucky Derby?
The 12th race. So his pick five, the 12, was the 12.
The last one.
Yeah, the last one. But she's so mean. She can be so mean.
We just have a head up? Is that what we have?
She wore green. It's like a spirit. It really is. It's like a
floating head.
Like an evil spirit.
Her fighting shoe, fighting Sue t-shirt.
Well, because if it was Katie, it would be like Glenda the Good Witch.
Really?
No. It's a kind spirit. That's a kind spirit.
Well, Katie is in here, so yeah. You get the evil witch, I guess.
Oh, there you go.
Somebody asked me, where is the Kentucky Derby at? Is it out like in...
Louisville, Kentucky.
It is in Louisville?
Yeah.
Outskirts of Louisville?
I imagine it's in outskirts. 150,000 people in attendance, though.
Oh, I mean, it looked fantastic.
Raven, where'd she go?
What?
You and that green screen are killing me. She is killing me.
No, somebody asked me that on Saturday, and I said I had no idea.
So anyway, the Kentucky Derby had 150,000 people there. Well, you're still there, just bugging me, man. Okay, so the favorite in the race was a horse named Fierceness, ridden by my favorite jockey of all time, John Velasquez. So I was thrilled to death thinking, and I watched this horse race. He won the, she's so funny. He won the Florida Derby a couple weeks before. Okay, you're killing me, Raven.
All right, I'm done. It's
hard for me to talk.
That was the
hard
point.
For you to concentrate.
That was the point.
You did it on purpose. But
of course. Okay, of course.
So John Velasquez won the Kentucky Derby and won it by a mile. That horse was the fastest horse out there. And there's no doubt in my mind that Fierceness was the fastest horse in the Kentucky Derby. Only Fierceness drew the 17th slot. So there was 21 horses, 21, 22, depending on how it ended up taking off in the race. And it's always tough if you're on the rail, the number one horse, because what happens is when they come out, they pinch you. Or if you're on the outside, you have to race in. You have to get out in front, and then you have to get in front. And what inevitably happens to those outside horses is they have to exert so much energy to get there that they run out of gas. But Fierceness was such a horse that I didn't think he'd run. I expected that horse to get out in front and take it rail to rail or wire to wire. And
where was Fierceness? What number?
17.
Oh, it was 17.
He ended up 15th. But he was in the front. He did make that run from the outside in and collapsed everybody. And was out there, and there were like four horses running neck and neck out in front, but the pace was too fast. That's if you don't understand horse racing is you don't want to have the pace be too fast because these horses run out of gas when they get to the last quarter mile, eighth mile.
It's like in a marathon race, starting off too fast.
But yeah, you run yourself out.
Well, don't they have like one of the horses that's supposed to be the one that gets out in front and makes them go faster?
Well, usually there are you can predict which ones will do that, and then they don't have a chance of winning.
Right.
A horse like Fierceness actually has a chance of winning because it's that good. But what happened was he got out there, and the pace was too fast. Those four horses that were out in front was too fast. They ran themselves out. And then when there's always that second wave behind them that comes rolling around from the outside, Fierceness got pushed back into the rail. And he tried to come through the rail, still as fast as everybody else out there. He tried to come through the rail, and he got blocked off. So then he had to come back out. Four horses. He had to come out four horse widths. And by the time he got to the spot where he was going to come through, he got blocked from the outside again. So he got stuck in the pack and couldn't go. And I saw it happening. I could see it happening. And so that's what happened to that horse. Now, the Preakness is coming up in 2 weeks. Fierceness is probably going to be the favorite in that race. And there's only going to be 12 horses max, maybe as little as 8. So a whole different story, not 21 horses. Where you're pushed in like that.
So are you betting for Paul again on that one?
Well, we'll probably put some bets together. I will put bets together. But so what happened in this race was a horse called Mystic Dan that was in the 3 spot. Now, my favorite jockeys were in the 17 and the 1. Luis Saez was on the 1 horse named Dornich. I put a lot of money on that horse too. Because Luis Saez is one of my favorite jockeys. And I thought he would get out there, and he got pinched. He was in the 1 spot, and he got pinched into the rail right off the start and never had the chance to get around all those horses. It's a fine degree of things. I mean,
they call it the science or something, don't they?
Well, that's boxing. For sure. This is the most exciting 2 minutes in sports. And you know, she smiles because she's a horse girl over here. I know it's not thoroughbred racing for you, but...
No, but I have definitely ran my horse more than enough times next to other... Well, not next to other horses, but I can totally... Like, I can see what you're describing.
I'm sure you can, because sometimes your horse might be out there in front of them, and sometimes
One actually wants to run with me. No one...
Yeah, because your horse will stomp them. Run over them.
The thing is my horse likes to run. That's the thing, is he likes to. So whenever we go out, I invite people all the time, and it's almost like they're scared. Like they're scared of running their horse, which I kind of do understand to some degree, but I have a giant 2,000-pound horse. Any horse is going to outrun my horse. Any horse probably, like, It's just how it is. But, like, I can see what you're describing. And, yes, if you're in a pack of horses and they're on you, you can't get out. There is no getting out of that.
Well, and the thing is with thoroughbred horse racing like this is that you can't bump each other either, see?
Yep, you can't do that. So
when you get stuck like that, you're stuck.
Yeah, you got nowhere to go.
And that's kind of what happened to Fierceness, the favorite in this race. Now, it ended up being a horse called Mystic Dan that won that race. But this ended up being 3 horses at the wire, too, by a nose.
Yeah, it was close.
The closest Kentucky Derby ever for the 3 spots.
Oh, really?
They all came in nose.
Huh.
But I saw, as I watched it live with my naked eye on TV, I saw Mystic Dan won the race. I could see it. I there was no doubt in my mind. So Mystic Dan was the horse that I knew Paul had put a $20 bet on. The horse went off at 18-1. So it paid like 39-something to one, to two, I mean. And I knew it was going to pay off at least $360 when I figured it out. But what the coolest thing I did all week, like I was telling you guys before the show, was with sitting down there eating at the Spud Junior on Saturday when that couple were sitting at the end of the bar.
So you watched it at the Spud Junior?
No, I watched it at home, but I was down there eating earlier in the day. And Robert and Carolyn Winkles, this couple was sitting at the end of the bar eating dinner, lunch, and they asked the bartender what there was to do in Grand Forks, North Dakota. And I looked at them, I'm going, this is Saturday. There's nothing going on.
You
want to go dancing at the Diamond later, maybe? I don't know. That's about all that's going on. There's no Ralph Engelstad Arena. There's no Laris going on. I said, I looked at him. I said, well, the Kentucky Derby's going on. You could go to Rumor's Bar and make a horse bet. And then I sat there and I talked to them about what horses to bet on. In this race, Steven Osmussen, I think I talked about that last week.
Yeah,
was the trainer 25 years, never won.
And then his son was
and
in
then,
it.
And then his son was riding another horse. Well, halfway through the race, those two guys were out in front.
Hmm.
Both those horses, the son and the dad, their horses were out in front halfway through the race.
Hmm.
So there was that. And it was like, well, maybe one of them is going to win. You know, who knows? As the race is going on. Ooh, crickets.
I think that might be a sign.
Well, you never know.
I think that might be a sign.
Anyway,
that's all
these two lovely people were in town visiting their son, Matthew, who works at Riedel.
That is not a plug. We're not advertising Riedel's.
Well, but they were in town, and I was like, to me, I thought maybe they're from Thief River or Greenbush or somewhere like that. And no, they're from Buffalo, New York. They're in town sightseeing, basically checking out, and they sent me some photos they took of like the downtown and that kind of thing. I mean, we're I know it's Raven, you're laughing.
Yes, because they come from New York. Like, there's so many things to see, and then they come sightseeing in Grand Forks, North Dakota. That's
prairie.
Just the funniest thing to me. What would you like to sightsee? A field? A flat field?
They did the
we
beat,
got
the
beat, lots the, of them. Would you like to do the one singular tree out on the county line?
We got some telephone poles, too.
Yeah, yeah. I hear in Lakota, they even still have a payphone.
Ooh.
Okay. All right.
All right. Well, they were very nice people, and I put those I told them what to do. As far as bets, and they put a bet down just like Paul's bet, and they took my name and my number, and they said, if we even win $1, we're calling you.
Yeah.
So they hit that same $392.50 win. Never bet horses in their life. And I was talking to Robert today, texting him back and forth,
Telling
him that, well, the Preakness is coming up in 2 weeks, and I'm going to put my bets together as we get closer. I will send you my picks. I'm sure in Buffalo, New York, there's somewhere to go bet.
Preakness is in Baltimore? Or?
No, it's in you're in Maryland. Yeah, Baltimore. Pimlico, right, racetrack.
Yeah. Monty, we got to do an ad.
What's the last one?
You can finish up.
The Belmont's in New York.
Okay.
And that's they'll be betting the Belmont, too, I bet. I don't want to turn them into degenerates like myself, though.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, they'll probably want
you
to go
bad
to,
influence.
They'll probably want to go to Winnipeg to go to Assiniboia.
Well, that's my fear is that they're going to think that, well, this is easy, and it's not. It's not at all.
Well, it's easy when they get advice from you.
Well, I told them when we were sitting at the bar and I was eating my chili and my burger, I said, you know, I'm as educated in this stuff as anybody is going to ever be.
Oh, yeah? Tooting your own horn? Here, wait.
You're just on it, aren't you?
That cupcake earlier.
Apparently, yeah, the sugar rush.
Speaking of cupcakes, is anyone else going to actually dig in? I have been waiting for someone to take a cupcake.
Well, somebody took one.
Yeah,
there was one.
The rest of us are watching our figures.
After?
We need that ad.
Because I got my eyes on one.
All right, here's the ad.
Winter in the Northland means no golf, right? Wrong. Looking to get in a round of golf in a climate-controlled winter oasis? Want to just whack some balls in the virtual driving range and work on your swing? check out Albatross Indoor Golf Club in Grand Forks. With more than 90 courses, range venues, and games including Pebble Beach, St. Andrews, TPC Sawgrass, and more. All on an incredibly accurate optical-based simulators from driving to putting. Play straight up, team up for a scramble, play tournaments, or join the two-person scramble league. It's fun for everyone, and all ages are welcome, too. Call or text 701-757-3220 to set up a tee time. Check out Albatross Indoor Golf Club at the Columbia Mall, your home for the best indoor golf experience around.
I didn't realize.
I like spice cake.
Okay.
You like spice cake?
I've never made it or taste it, but I'll give it a shot.
So during the break there where we had this ad up, apparently Raven ate Bill's birthday cupcake. I don't know what's going on.
And that was from Sweet Dreams, or what's it called over there?
For Heaven's Cakes. For Heaven's Cakes. I even paid top dollar for the good top shelf cupcakes.
You had a 1 in 6 chance, Raven.
And she's got her eye on another one, too.
Which, I was asking.
Which one? Because I'm taking that one for sure.
Take it. I just 6 cupcakes, okay? I had to pick the one. The one.
You did.
Huh. I'm so sorry. Oh my God.
He didn't tell us. Anyway,
happy you 69th it. Birthday.
You enjoyed it, though, didn't you?
I loved it. Okay. It was really good. So good, I did want another one.
Wow. Well, you will have, I'm sure. The rest of us are watching our figures, but you don't have to.
No.
That's right.
Well, you got one for Paul and one for Dale and one for Monte.
And us fat guys, yeah. We.
And one for Keith.
Well, I feel bad. I'm sorry.
Monty, where would you like to go to next year?
Well, I'm going to finish up my Derby wrap-up was a big deal. The Mystic Dan fierceness thing, one of the things that happened was 2 Japanese horses finished in the top 5. One was 3 and one was 5. I would never in a million years have put Japanese horses in my exotic bets, my superfectas, my trifectas.
That's incredibly odd. Even I know that's out of the ordinary.
Yeah, exactly.
Good God.
So the horse, Forever Young was its name, finished 3rd, and then TD Passport was the much longer shot of the 2 Japanese horses. Finished in the 5th spot, and I would have never put any of those. I don't bet European horses. I don't bet overseas horses when it comes to the Derby or American races. I typically will leave those out. In years past, I wouldn't bet on a female jockey, but I've changed my mind on that many times over because a gal named Jacqueline Davis has kicked my ass multiple times in New York over the years that I will never not bet a female jockey anymore. But I will not ever bet a European or a Japanese horse. And that kind of stunned me in this sequence here.
So why are you against female jockeys, Monty?
Well, until recently, I didn't think they were tough enough, but then I met this girl that rides this great big horse.
Speaking of that, by the way, though, do you know what ferrying is?
Ferrying, trimming their hooves.
Yes.
See, I'm not ignorant.
So shoeing and trimming, which is called ferrying, are 2 different things, but they're combined. It depends if you put shoes on or not, because some horses don't have shoes. Mine does not have shoes. Guess who had her first lesson on trimming her horse's hooves yesterday?
Oh, you must have.
My horse is an asshole.
Oh. That is a, you know, you bring that up.
Is that what the blacksmith used to do?
Yes.
You know, and I'm not, I'm still stuck on my horse, okay, my horse racing story, but the whole, that whole thing, the trimming of the hooves and stuff, that is a skill unto no other skill.
Yep.
The people that do that, oh yeah. You know, it's like, well, with humans, trimming your toenails and your fingernails and clipping them too short and doing that kind of thing, that we're basically dealing with the same kind of thing.
Yes. There is definitely a skill acquired, but there is strength. You need strength because you are bending over. I bent over for 6 hours yesterday.
2,000-pound animal.
Hours. Yes. Motherfucker was leaning on me too. I'm like this. Yeah. Okay, so I need to put this in perspective, though. My horse, I am so tiny compared to my horse. Every single person that sees this laughs. Just bursts out laughing, okay? I'm a mosquito on his back.
It's hilarious to me. It's hilarious.
Mosquito on his back. 2,000-pound animal, 120-pound girl, okay? My horse was so bad that I had to repeatedly hit him just because he wouldn't sit still. Okay, me hitting a 2,000-pound horse is like a mosquito bite to us. Not even. Okay, he was so bad, Monty. I ended up breaking a rasp across his ass.
A rasp.
A rasp. Supersonic Steve.
Good afternoon. How we doing?
Good, you just came in right in the middle of my story.
Uh-oh, go for it.
So I ended up breaking a rasp across my horse's ass.
We were talking the Kentucky Derby, but then Raven was doing some trimming of her multi-pound horse's
multi-pound.
Hooves and he was misbehaving, and that, I don't know what you know about horses at all, Supersonic Steve, but when it comes to trimming,
I know I like to bet them off. I like to bet on
me too, but trimming their hooves and manicuring them is a skill that is like, it's a lost art, really. I mean,
all right.
Blacksmiths in the old days, there you go.
All right. So, for those of you that don't know what a horse farrying rasp is, it's like a nail file to them. It's like
a huge nail file.
Oh yeah, it's like a foot and a half long. Okay, and I want to say, maybe 8 millimeters thick of just metal. Eight millimeters. That sounds about right.
Now, we're not Canadian. You can't talk milliliters.
You know what? A centimeter. I don't know.
We'll talk inches.
Yeah? Okay. 1/4 of an inch.
Okay.
Okay. Fractions.
But yeah. It's metal. It's not
It's like, metal.
It's not like a club of some sort.
And the funniest thing was, all he had to do was sit still. He didn't get the idea that all he had to do was sit still.
Well, animals don't, though.
Yeah, Jesus. So I have some work to do, but I just wanted to share that because I'm proud of myself, guys. It took me a long time with a 2,000-pound horse leaning on me, not wanting to sit still, just flailing his freaking feet everywhere.
I got a question for you, Monty.
Uh-oh.
The Kentucky Derby is always the
first weekend in May.
First Saturday in May, yep.
Why do they, that would basically be the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
Of horse racing. In the horse world, yes.
Why don't they do that one third instead of?
Well, that's a good question. In Kentucky, a lot of people would say that the thoroughbred racing began in Kentucky. It really didn't, but that was the state that jumped on it, built the Twin Spires. The Churchill Downs has been rebuilt multiple times. You asked that question. I always thought the same thing. Why is the Triple Crown of horse racing, the first race is the biggest one of the whole thing, right, and then the rest of it goes
on.
Kind
of like Daytona, too,
yep,
though.
That's a great analogy. And that's, racing is a messed up sport that way. It's like doing the NBA finals and then going backwards to the regular season.
Right.
Was really. What do you think, Keith?
Yep.
Yeah. He's dying to talk racing. I know we're going to get there. The car racing, we will.
The playoffs in football and basketball, it just seems to get bigger and bigger
as you go.
Right.
You know, and I don't know. I think the whole thing is a lot of us
something traditional.
Well, horse aficionados. I was talking to a guy that bets horses, and his brother runs horses up in Assiniboia Downs, a guy I work with. And he was talking about that. He's like, he really wishes the Derby wasn't 20 horses. Maybe we just take the 10 best horses and run them in the Derby. Because that's what ends up happening in the Preakness and the Belmont, where they don't throw all these horses in. And that's why in the Kentucky Derby with the 20 or the 21 or the 22 horses, you end up with the odds. It could be anybody's day, but then that horse that wins it will never win the next two or three.
So how do you determine the best 10?
Well, typically, the horse that wins the Santa Anita Derby in California, the horse that wins the
something in Florida,
the Florida Derby, the horse that wins the Arkansas Derby, the horse that wins like the Bluegrass Stakes. You have these other pre races, and that sets the lineup. But then you get these extras in there, and then for right now, if you guys hadn't noticed, Bob Baffert didn't have a horse in the race, and if you don't know who Bob Baffert,
he couldn't, could he? Wasn't he expelled from it?
Well, Supersonic, that's a nice way to put it.
I think
he was. He's suspended.
Tom Brady.
He's suspended.
I thought because he was at Tom Brady's
roast. No, the Bob Baffert has had multiple Kentucky Derby winners and multiple Belmont winners and multiple Preakness winners. But then, what is it, 3 years ago when my jockey, John Velasquez, was on a horse called Medina, and I had money bet up the yin-yang on this horse because Medina is like a town in North Dakota, okay? And he won the race, but he was disqualified for only horse ever disqualified in Kentucky Derby because he had steroid salve. Remember this, Raven?
I don't remember this.
I remember this.
Oh, wait, no, this was...
a couple years ago.
It was. I actually do remember saying
something.
And that's
a creepy-looking guy, too.
Well, the white-haired dude. That, yeah. But anyway, Bob Baffert...
Slick Willie.
So Kentucky suspended him for 1 year, and then they added another year, and then they added another year, and now it's another year. But come Preakness, 2 weeks from today, in Maryland...
he'll be in it.
Bob Baffert's going to have a horse there, and you can bet your ass that the horse he has there is going to be a fireball. A fireball. Bob Baffert is not taking this lightly, and that horse might be on steroids too, but who knows? He is not going to go away silently. His horses are still racing on the East Coast and the West Coast. They're just not racing in Kentucky. And Kentucky keeps extending his suspension. I mean, Bill, when you get suspended, is there an end date? Usually, but this one just keep adding years to the end of it. And Dwayne Lucas, I don't know if you guys know who Dwayne Lucas is, but he's the old cowboy that also has horses in Kentucky. And
I had money on him. They didn't do shit.
Yeah, I did too. Dwayne Lucas had the Osmussen son riding his horse, the number six horse. I think was his name. But Dwayne Lucas has enough persuasion in Kentucky that back in the day, 20 years ago, the two trainers in the whole industry were Dwayne Lucas and Bob Baffert. Bob Baffert took a lot of Dwayne Lucas's sunshine off of him, his shine. And Dwayne Lucas has enough clout that he could keep Bob Baffert suspended for the next 10 years, I think, in Kentucky. That's what I think.
Monty, we should probably move on to so many other topics to hit up, but final thoughts on this year's Kentucky Derby?
Well, it's like any Kentucky Derby. You got 20 horses out there. Anybody can win. Brian Hernandez Jr. Won the race. Kentucky Churchill Downs, Keeneland jockey who runs that track many, many times over, and that's why I would advise people to bet on him because he would have a chance if that's his home track. And thankfully, the Wingles and Paul Kernelka bet the horse. I didn't take my own advice. I did put that horse in my exotics. I didn't bet it singularly. I put it into my exotics trying to bet and make more money even. But now when I look back at it, I wish I would have dropped $100 on it myself as to win. But I'll get back there in the Preakness or the Belmont, one of those two, one or the other. Okay, so off into their basketball.
I had a quick macro question for you. Do you think
with like that with that big triple photo finish there that helped raise the interest in horse racing overall?
Absolutely.
I know you keep up with the horse racing enthusiast press, but just casual sports fans got a lot more people tuned in to maybe think will raise horse racing demographics.
Well, definitely.
Oh yeah, I think so.
Definitely the Japanese fan base. Because they finished third and fifth, those Japanese horses.
Did you think there was a little bumping going on the rail there on the third corner?
Oh, yeah.
It looked like there was a lot of action between a couple of horses, and nothing was ever called on that. I don't know, maybe it was just me, but it seemed like there was a lot of bumping and grinding going on the rail.
Well, it was definitely tight quarters all the way with so many horses, and when it comes down to the finish, they're only looking at those first three spots primarily. And like Fierceness got trapped inside with John Velasquez. And there's not much you can do about that. He just got trapped and there was no lane out. He would have had to go waist so wide out that he could never get back into the front.
And so he just had to stay.
Yeah, he was stuck there. That might have been one of the worst races I've ever seen John Velasquez race. But he also, three derbies, four or five derbies ago, he was on the top horse then, and the horse bucked him off as they came out of the gate. And you can't factor that in. It just happens.
No, yeah. I just thought there was a little more action than normal.
No, it was a lot of bumping and grinding, but no. Jockey Brian Hernandez Jr., that's his first Kentucky Derby win. And so you got to, hats off to him. And thank God, because if you saw the interview of him after the race, he was like, when he broke free, he was a couple lengths out, and those other two horses were coming. He was thinking to himself that he had a chance to win a Kentucky Derby, and he was giving it. He was whipping that horse as hard as he could possibly whip it. He was
going early too,
hard as he could, and they almost got him. If there'd have been another 3 feet to the race, he wouldn't have won. 2 feet, and
that, that's true. I mean, it was. Was it the closest finish ever?
Yes, between all three horses, and then at the same time. We had a car race this week, though.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Let's get into that. No, there was a car race. Do you have that, Dale?
Yeah. I think I got it here somewhere. We got Keith here. We got to hear his analysis of it.
Yeah, there was a car race.
I didn't watch it. I just seen it.
No, come on. You guys are car race aficionados, and I actually watched it.
Are we talking F1? Is that what we're talking?
NASCAR.
NASCAR. It was the closest NASCAR race in history. Yeah. This was the closest horse race in Kentucky Derby history, but NASCAR had this race. Go ahead, Keith.
Like I said, I didn't see it. I just seen.
You got any notes on it there, though?
One sec, I'll print you off.
I'm going to go back. Got it. Raven, did you see it?
I did not.
Or were you too busy fighting your horse?
I used to be such a big fan of NASCAR, but when they went to the stage racing, it kind of lost me.
Okay, well, we're finding that. I'm going to talk about the Timberwolves going into Denver and bopping them twice.
That's not just bopping. They kicked their ass.
No shit.
And they played defense.
And then Gobert didn't even show up because his wife was having a kid. I mean, that was the thing. Was the Timberwolves' advantage was they had multiple 7-footers and big men they could throw at Joker, and one of them didn't even come because his wife was having a child. I'm like, now first off, Bill, okay, you're playing in the NBA playoffs and your wife is having your first baby. What are you doing?
What am I doing? I'd probably have to hear it from my wife what I'm doing.
Smart man.
You're a smart man, my friend.
I'm an old school guy. There's midwives. I'm waiting on the other side of the door with a cigar going to Denver.
And don't buy cheap cigars either. No. I tell those nice guys, don't buy some cheap ass cigars.
That is I'm like, Gobert, you're in a position where this team has never been, and you know, the only reason he didn't go is because he's a fucking Frenchman. He's that whole romantic thing. He probably had a candlelight dinner and was sitting outside the room with her.
I actually,
how have you been married for this long?
I think it was a good thing that he did.
Sandy, what in the heck have you been putting up with, girl?
All right. Where's that car race?
Car race was in Kansas. Kyle Larson won the race in a photo finish by 0.001 seconds.
He beat
Chris Buescher to the line. Kyle Larson and Martin Truex are the top two Cup points leaders, and they will race again this Sunday at Darlington.
And so that was 200 miles, and they were how close?
I don't have the distance, but it was 0.001. Wow. So one.
It wasn't very much.
Yeah.
But those races are usually like 200 miles or something, aren't they? Or?
Well, it depends on the size of the track.
Yeah,
but the time to go around so many laps, it equals out to that many miles.
I mean, if Kansas is a mile track, they probably went 200 laps, so 200 miles.
But yeah, it was the announcers first called Chris Buescher win.
And they said, oh, Chris Buescher won, and then they're like, wait a second, let's take a look at this on the replay, and they, I guess they have some kind of special, I don't know if the terminology was like radar, like a special like radar. You can't really see it on the track, the actual finish line. And just barely Kyle Larson got the win.
But they beat out, surpassing Ricky Craven's 0.002 second win over Kurt Busch at Darlington.
Yeah, that was the next closest one. That was from several years back.
And that was in 2003.
And then I guess there is still one other NASCAR race that had a closest finish, but it was in the Xfinity Cup. And it was it came down to 0.004 of a second of the victory. I was looking up that, but yeah, not in the NASCAR Cup, in the Xfinity Cup. But so what a crazy finish. I know Kyle Larson, I think he had a couple other second place finishes recently in NASCAR the last few weeks.
Man.
So
he's been on a roll. He's been on a big time roll.
I think his second of the year so far for the main cup races there. So,
well, the Wolves are going to sweep that series, aren't they?
Well,
heck yeah.
I mean, what was Jamal Murray? He was.
Let's talk about that.
3-17.
So Jamal Murray has this really bad. Well, so the Timberwolves take the two first games, but Jamal Murray has been this class act basically his whole career, and then. Suddenly he's throwing a towel on the floor.
It was a heating pad.
He threw a towel first, and then he kicked the heating pad that he was around his calf out onto the floor too. And not during a dead ball, but we're during real action. You saw the live.
I seen the replay of it. Yeah,
I didn't see it.
Live play. And over the years, now that normally gets you suspended. The NBA fined him
$100,000. Right,
Raven. Basketball players are on the court playing, and somebody's throwing a towel on the floor. Or
unacceptable.
Or he had this heating pad on his thigh, and then he throws that. He actually threw it at the referee and missed, and it went onto the floor. And anybody
and he's not
else,
arrested?
Well, yeah, good point.
Because like. Well, not only that you're throwing something at someone, I don't know if that could be considered assault, but it should be. Second of all, someone slips on a heating pad or a towel or something, you just ruined a $1 million athlete, okay? Many million dollars of an athlete, not to mention, I don't care whoever slips on it, the mental anguish of knowing someone took it away from you, someone took something away from you to that extent just because they had a fit like a two-year-old, I would be in prison. There would be death. There would be blood. Like, there's... Well, think honestly, if I was a player on that team, I would stop dead in my tracks and just look around like, is someone going to take him out?
Were you guys surprised they didn't issue a suspension for him?
I'm surprised they didn't issue a suspension because I look back in 1974 in the NBA finals, the Milwaukee Bucks played the Boston Celtics, and there was a guard for the Milwaukee Bucks by the name of Lucius Allen who played college
basketball. Played for the Sonics. Yeah. Played for the Sonics. He was the first round draft choice for the Sonics.
But he also played at UCLA with Lew Alcindor or Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and on national championships. And they were playing in Milwaukee together in 1974. So a college basketball teammates, like my Villanova guys. But anyway, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Lucius Allen was the guard opposite Oscar Robertson with the Milwaukee Bucks in 1974, and somebody left a towel on the floor, and he blew his knee out. Stepping on
Lucius Allen?
Yes, stepping on that towel. And he never got to play the whole playoffs. The Bucks ended up losing in Game 7 to the Boston Celtics that year. But when you're missing your starting guard, you know, so when you see a guy like Jamal Murray throwing things on the floor, it's bad enough when a fan is throwing stuff on the floor. You know, the Philadelphia 76ers or the Philadelphia Eagles fans were the ones that invented throwing batteries and quarters at players in professional basketball games and professional football games where people, it was almost acceptable to just throw things at players.
And New York, too.
No, it was not New York. You know, Bill, you're pissing me off.
Well, no, okay. I'm not pissing you off.
I want to say this. The truth. I want to say this, okay? So let's say you have a very nice car, $1 million car. It's one of like 7 in the world or something, all right? You come out to some guy throwing something at it. Aren't you going to be absolutely livid? Okay?
Yeah.
Absolutely livid. You have one of the most expensive dogs in the world, all right? You got some guy throwing something at it. Are you going to be mad? Yeah, I would say so. You have anything worth that much money and someone's throwing something at it? Oh, good God. What? This guy didn't get arrested?
Well, at least suspended.
That's like damage of property at this point. Yeah. That is...
The refs were... Everyone was surprised they didn't give him at least a tech right away, but the refs just flat out missed it because he did it from the sidelines on the bench. And, you know, refs...
Wait, this is a player?
Yeah.
That did this. Oh, it must be on camera, though.
Yeah, all of it.
Once it was brought to the officials' attention, you know, then they fined him afterwards.
But everyone thought for sure he was at least going to get suspended. But no, they just gave him it was a steep fine, $100,000 fine. But yeah, no suspension.
Oh, you learned your lesson.
Yeah. Yeah, an NBA player, that's pocket change.
Well, it's kind of the sport, too. I mean, you don't think something like that's going to happen.
What they did was took into account when they fined him, they took into account that he's been basically a choir boy his whole career. And this is the first.
So is everyone else. Freaking O.J. Simpson was a goddamn choir boy. Okay? Seriously. I can't tell you an athlete
go that far.
At some point he was.
Seriously.
Maybe when he was born.
In what freaking world? In what world? Okay. The only more corrupt business is fucking Congress. NFL, NBA, Congress. Okay. Oh, everyone's an angel. Everyone's a choir boy. Oh my God. You learned your lesson. Okay. When the hell is anyone going to get
on his little fingers?
When is everyone going to get their head out of their ass? Yep. They're literally killing each other. OJ's killing wives or something.
Sugar from the cupcake is kicked in.
Okay? Like, we were just talking. No, we weren't. I saw this Netflix special, and apparently one of Tom Brady's teammates killed his wife. Everyone's killing each other.
That was,
seriously, that everyone's killing each other. I don't understand.
I don't think he killed his wife.
Well
he killed,
he killed
other people.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, no.
That was a bad dude,
his wife didn't appreciate the...
All right, though.
No. My favorite thing is that Raven takes our messed up sports stories and puts a real, very real social aspect on them. And
that's good.
No, that she kills me sometimes because it just goes with it.
Baffled that this was another player. I would expect
a fan, a coach, an assistant.
Not a coach, but player is just as worse.
Well, maybe a videographer.
All I'm saying is, if people actually took them off their goddamn high horse, and trust me, I know about high horses. Okay,
sounds like it.
Okay, someone knocked them down a peg. Maybe they wouldn't be killing spouses. All I'm saying is they have been riding too high for too long, and that is why they're so corrupt. It's the same thing with Congress. It really is. They've been riding too high for too long, going unchecked. And yes, I can understand why they think they can get away with it, but the fact is we're letting them get away with it. It's
absolutely, you hit it right on the head.
It's not their fault at this point. It is like the mass majority and who's ever the authority is. Like, you got a player throwing towels, and not just one thing, two things, on the court. Okay? If I was the opposite team's coach, I would have went over and I would have punched him in the face. Because at that point, you are risking my players. You are risking my team, let alone yours. I don't know what the hell you're thinking. But there would have been fist fights. There probably would have been blood. Like, seriously, like, how dare you do that? That is so unsportsmanlike of you. You should not be a sportsman. Go work at McDonald's.
We should show Raven the malice in the palace.
Eventually.
Oh boy!
All right, I'm done. Eventually. I'm eating this other cupcake.
But it was really out of character for Jamal Murray to do that, but he was throwing like a fit.
Yeah,
and
like LeBron.
No, there's nobody like LeBron. What do we call him on the show?
The Bruce Banana.
I was
whiny bitch.
No,
I like that one. Well, that was good too.
Well, whiny bitch is good, but I was talking to Sandy about what Raven calls him, and I said, that is the most perfect description, the bruised banana.
The bruised banana.
And we're going to make that a national thing at one point or another. We're going to make that a national thing. LeBron James is a bruised banana.
All I'm saying is, if I can slump over for 6 hours under a 2,000-pound animal with me being little 5'4", 120 pounds, this guy, which is, I don't know, 6 foot something, he's definitely taller than me.
6'8", 6'9".
Okay? Has had children.
250.
And has literally trained for this his entire life. Can do better. Can do better. Like, good God.
I mean, I've seen some things on the hockey.
Yeah?
Hockey ice. I've seen some things on the football. But I know that definitely was dangerous.
Well, if that wasn't
worth a suspension, I don't know what is.
Me either.
They're never going to have any suspensions. I don't know why it's even a thing. Like, why don't they just get rid of it entirely? They're clearly not using it.
Well, and
changing the rules all the time. You might as well change that one while you're at it.
But you brought up football and hockey and. There are more violent aspects to both those sports many, many times.
I mean, guys swinging sticks at people's head.
Well, we're going to get... Hockey's going on right now, but Dale says we got to do this Churchill ad, so let's do the ad. Here we go.
Hey, before we do that, I got to wish Bill a happy birthday.
Thank you.
Don't encourage him. Do you know Raven ate his cupcake?
I'm going to leave, Monty.
There's six chocolate cupcakes. No, there's five chocolate cupcakes, and there's one white one, and Raven ate it.
No one told me. I even asked if I could have a cupcake. I asked.
And Bill,
no one told me.
Bill's over here having a reaction.
No one told me, and now I have to make Bill a freaking cupcake. No one told me.
No, a real cake.
No, there
okay.
you go. There you
go. Okay. Sorry, I ate your cupcake. Here's you, a whole cake.
Steve, I'm getting spice. I'm getting spice.
Steve. Cake. Steve started this.
I did. I'm sorry. All
right. Here's the ad.
Churchill Shoes is saying goodbye. After over 75 years of catering to all of our footwear needs, Chuck says it's time to retire, and that means unbelievable savings for you. From now until the store closes at the end of May, stop in for the most incredible sale ever at Churchill Shoes. Huge store-wide savings on both men's and women's shoes. Your feet will never be happier than when they're wearing Sash shoes. You'll love them. But hurry, when the store inventory is gone, it's gone for good. 75 years is a long time, and May isn't that far away. Stop and save now at the going out of business sale at Churchill Shoes in the Grand Cities Mall from now until the end of May. And Chuck says thank you to all of his great customers throughout the years. We'll miss you, Chuck. Stop into Churchill Shoes in the Grand Cities Mall.
Thanks. Spit and check.
All right, we are back. And for a second, I was blue there. Monty has disappeared. I think I heard he went missing and maybe found a random horse racing track somewhere. So,
but at the same time, every Tuesday that he's gone.
Yeah,
he found a heating pad. I think.
Yeah, he went to find a heating pad. Yeah.
No, I didn't bury him on a track.
No, but I will say real quick that the thing that got overshadowed by that heating pad incident there by Jamal Murray was Anthony Edwards. Holy hell, emerging that game one, 43, 45 points?
Now Joker's MVP of the league again, and what, are people thinking that Anthony Edwards should have gotten it?
Yeah, well, it's too bad the voting goes down like before the playoffs, but Edwards has had a phenomenal nonstop season. And so, yeah, Edwards dominated game one, and then Naz Reid had an explosive game four. He like lit it up. I think he did like, what, about 8 or 10 straight points of his 12 points for the game? And then game two, and mind you, both these first two games in the Nuggets-Timberwolves series, they're in Denver. They're playing away. They're on the road. So they got the complete disadvantage against them. And well, they obliterate Denver in game two.
Well, that's basically because Gobert's gone. Yeah. And so that's why Nas started, right?
Yeah. Like Monty mentioned a little earlier, Rudy Gobert was away to, you know, birth family, new addition to the family. Good on him. But so you think Timberwolves are at a big disadvantage to losing. And Rudy Gobert just voted Defensive Player of the Year, one of their big time three components of their team. So you think they'd be at a disadvantage on the road, but then they obliterate. So that was something.
I don't know. You know, who else does Denver have that was so great last year that they only really have Murray and Joker right now?
Well, yeah, Jokic got MVP of the year for what, third time out of 4 years. So what, I think he's what, one out of, what was it, four or no, nine players, I think, to win the MVP award three times. Yeah, so he's got, and that guy has the best, if you've seen, there's awesome YouTube memes going around of compilations of his NBA Finals celebration from winning the big trophy and him just being absolutely emotionless and not caring at all. He's like halfway drinking a Michelob Ultra Light and just halfway spraying it.
Last year.
Yeah, last year. It was phenomenal. The guy does not, he just cares about winning. He doesn't care about the celebrating. But, yeah, so.
It comes from a war-torn country.
Oh, which one is it? Which,
Croatia.
Croatia? Okay, yeah.
He's like, he NBA is like a second thought to him.
So who are the other main cogs on that team other than Murray and him?
Aaron Gordon, Michael Porter Jr.
Porters, have I been reading stuff about the Porters? Is this family?
His brother.
They've got like six or eight of these guys, and like six of them are in the NBA or have been in the NBA?
Well, I know the brother. He went to high school here in Seattle, and I think his brother did too. But one of the brothers got trouble with the law, or not with the law. Excuse me, but I think it was some drugs. Something.
But then there was another one with gambling problems too,
that was
right?
That guy from Toronto.
Toronto or Milwaukee? Well, there was a Porter that played for Milwaukee too, right?
But the Porter that was playing for Toronto was the one that got banned indefinitely for gambling throwing games, that kind of thing. And we're gonna see more of that as it goes on. I'm a more of a, geez, you want to start talking about guys named Porter, Bill? I'm going to take you into a deep, dark fucking hole here in a minute.
Monty?
That played for UND or what?
Monty,
I didn't even think about him. You're a bad dude, Bill.
He's in Denver.
Yeah. Hey, Wes, we have nothing but great things to say about Wes Porter out there, okay? That's all I'm going to say about Wes Porter.
And Jermell.
Jermell Stout, yeah, if you're out there listening, yeah, you're our guys. We will never disparage you guys, even when we could.
Monty.
Or should.
Monty, I know you've been itching to talk about your team.
The New York Rangers or the New York Knicks? Which one do you want to talk about? Let's talk about the Knicks. The Knicks are the toughest team in the NBA. The Knicks play defense like you would not believe. Play defense like the 1970 teams play defense. Those three guys.
The Timberwolves might be waiting in the.
The Timberwolves are going to wilt when they face this kind of defense. These guys.
They're going to run into what's his name? A-Rod.
I'm not going to listen to a football player talk about basketball.
So, do you think there's been some conversation about maybe people want him in the playoffs a little deeper?
When your TV market, that would be the whine of the Rick Carlisle and the Indiana Pacers. What do you think, Ray?
Did you happen to see that? Did you happen to see that picture of him?
Yeah.
Getting face to face with that ref.
Did you happen to see the logo of the Indiana Pacifiers?
On his shirt. I hadn't heard that one before. That's good. I like that.
Well, did they go to Los Angeles and school with LeBron on?
I always, the thing is Rick Carlisle was a hard-nosed basketball player, and he was the coach of the Dallas Mavericks in 2011 when they beat the Miami Heat.
Didn't he start at Portland?
Boy, so you're a West Coast guy?
Yeah, I think he started at Portland. I could be wrong, but I know he was at Dallas.
There's something called Google. I've never used it before, but.
Don't start that. Bill pisses me off because he's like my brother. My brother John, the rock and roll guy. Anytime you ask him a question, he goes, "Well, you have that magic rectangle. You can ask your magic rectangle that question."
Hey, I do that all the time with Char. I'd say, "Well, I was thinking about this," and she gets on the phone, boom, 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 and it's like, I was just asking it, and then 5 minutes later she'll come back with the answer. And I go, "What are we talking about?" She goes, "Oh, you asked me about that restaurant, whatever." And it's like, "Fuck, that was like 5 minutes ago." I mean, I'm on to another topic right now. So,
I think Keith might have that too up in Hinterlands.
Yeah, too. But no, the Knicks in this series. I don't know if you guys, as the season has gone on, the Knicks won 50 games for the first time in quite some time, like since 2013, so it's been 11 years. They finished second in the Eastern Conference. Really had no business doing that because they basically played most of the second half of the season with guards. DiVincenzo.
They playing like four guard, one big man?
Yeah. At many times, they're playing four guards and one big man, which is unheard of. But that's Tom Thibodeau doing what he believes in the players he has. He doesn't he takes his best players and lets them play. If you don't play defense, you don't get your ass off the bench.
Monty, I've been reading up that
I've been reading up that the Knicks have been so banged up this year, pretty much their starters are playing either max or close to max minutes.
Josh Hart is playing like 48 minutes a game. And LeBron can't play half a game without whining about management. And these Knicks guys, so what we're talking about is Dante DiVincenzo, Jalen Brunson, and Josh Hart all played college basketball together. These three guys were roommates, played ball together for 3 or 4 years, won a couple of championships at UConn. Villanova.
Villanova.
Villanova. Yeah. Villanova. Yeah. Villanova. And These guys actually love each other. These guys are teammates. The chemistry is uncanny. It is they literally don't give a shit who is the star. They will dive down and dig. And Josh Hart is a guard grabbing 21 goddamn rebounds in the game. Come on, Supersonic, that's unheard of.
You just don't see that. Probably since maybe Dennis Johnson, he was a good rebounder.
Good equation. Dennis Johnson. Yeah. Well, 6'4" guard that could go grab rebounds.
Monty, I kind of want to hit a couple of highlights from the first two games in the series since our last show and get your the table's reactions from them. So it seems like the whole Knicks MVP has been Jalen Brunson for this first two game of the series. And he had a phenomenal first game of the series. What, 43 points is what I know what he had. But second game of the series, he had a little hiccup there in the first quarter and made quite the, like, cinematic comeback. You should probably enlighten people about that.
Okay. You got me started now. God dang it. Whew.
Here we go.
This isn't just a Knicks rah-rah Monty feel-good Monty story. This is actually a legit feel-good sports story.
You lit the fuse. Here it is. Okay?
There we go.
So if any of you understand anything about Knicks history, yesterday was the anniversary of Willis Reed creeping back out onto the court in Game 7 of the 1970 NBA Finals. Supersonic, you remember this?
The captain.
So the Willis, captain. Oh, so, yeah. So game
at,
seven.
You know where it was at?
Los Angeles, I think. I don't know.
I think it was Madison Square Garden.
No, you're right. It was Madison Square. It was game seven in Madison Square Garden. Playing the Lakers.
Went absolutely bananas.
Game six, Willis Reed tore his thigh muscle. He tore the thigh muscle, and he wasn't expected to play, took cortisone shots. And in game seven, when the teams were – you remember this?
No.
I do.
I remember when he hit his first three shots.
First two field goals.
One leg.
Willis Reed, the captain of the New York Knicks in 1970, tore his thigh muscle in game six against Wilt Chamberlain. He wasn't expected to play. In those days, you didn't have the kind of therapies you have now. He took cortisone shots. He came back out, hit the first two shots of the game. The Madison Square Garden crowd was going insane, And Walt Clyde Frazier ended up with 36 points in the game to beat Los Angeles for the first New York title. And then that same crew came back in 1973 with Earl of Pearl Monroe added and won their second title. I was 10 years old, and god damn it, they haven't won since.
Well, Monty, that's such Monty.
That was so fun to watch. Old. Earl and Walt together. Clyde,
the best backcourt that ever existed.
Wow.
And I never
Earl back in those days. I mean, he was shiny, you know.
Well, they called him the Black Jesus.
The Pearl.
Yeah, but he was before Pete Maravich.
Yes, he was all the flash, all the dash, all the in between.
And he could play.
Oh,
and shoot.
Earl Monroe, man.
No right hand and left handed. Great player.
Us Timberwolves fans will tell the story of Chris Finch and how he survived his pandemic or whatever he did to his knee.
His patella.
We're going to have just as good of a story. Yeah.
Supersonic, you know what he's talking about?
Yeah, how he came back from the injury, had surgery, and was there.
He flew all the way to Denver.
Bill is pissing me off to
go
ahead.
But Monty.
Comparing Chris Finch to Willis Reed.
Hey, it was a miraculous injury comeback.
I'm like, are you from Russia?
But Monty. Monty,
from New Zealand.
Monty, Dale agrees with me. So you told this miraculous injury comeback that no one expected from Willis Reed. Did something comparatively happen in the latest Knicks game?
Well, of course. So Jalen Brunson leaves the game. Initially, it looks like he took a nut shot. Then it looks like he took a thigh shot, but it ended up being a foot shot. and he left the game in the first period and missed the whole second quarter, the last 3 minutes of the first quarter, the whole second quarter. And then when the second half started, he came back out there, and he was a brute. You know, Jalen Brunson's listed at 6'1". I'd be surprised.
You know, where did he go to school at? I don't remember.
Well, Villanova.
Oh, okay. I should have known. That was a stupid question.
And,
okay.
And DiVincenzo and Hart are his teammates. But his dad played for the Knicks in the 2000s, you know. And I saw clips of Jalen Brunson as a little kid working out with his dad. And his dad was brutalizing him.
And he was at Houston before, wasn't he?
Who?
Brunson?
Dallas. He was in Dallas season before last, and Dallas backing up Luka. And Dallas hasn't been the same since Jalen Brunson left. Mm-hmm. They're not nearly as tough. Everybody was chastising the Knicks for signing Jalen Brunson to this contract, thinking that they lost out in the free agency. But this guy has been he's been a superhero in New York. He is Bernard King. He is Michael Ray Richardson. He is Ray Williams. He has been the best guard that New York has seen in decades and decades and decades. And tough, the guy is as tough as they come. He might be the toughest player in the NBA.
Other than LeBron. Other than LeBron.
The bruised banana.
Can we go to the W?
I just had to throw that.
Can we go to the W now?
Hey, Monty, WNBA season opens this weekend. They are having their preseason games. Actually, Caitlin Clark is playing her final preseason game right now for the Indiana Fever. Yeah. So, and she had her first preseason game, and she actually scored, I got it down on here, she scored 21 points. But the Fever lost to the Dallas Wings 76-79. But she led the team in scoring for the game. So, and then the actual WNBA season kickoff is this weekend, May 14th. And I think I have on here too. It's the Minnesota Lynx. They'll be taking on the Seattle Storm. Supersonic Steve, your Seattle Storm. This Tuesday, May 14th, at I guess at your time it'd be 7 p.m. or so. Yeah, they're playing in Seattle.
And what day is that?
Tuesday.
Monday or Tuesday.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Supersonic Steve. Speaking of other Minnesota teams facing Seattle teams.
Man, we're on a roll. Both teams are.
Yeah,
Twins jumped on the Seattle.
Yeah,
today,
I'm sorry. It was
9-1 today for a while.
I think it was 11-1. The Twins got the W. Over the Mariners.
I was flying back, so I didn't catch it. But didn't we pick up one game early?
They broke
the win streak.
Yep. Yeah, the Twins. Their win streak ended at 12 games. They lost to the Red Sox. They lost one other game to the Mariners. But they did. Right now, since that winning streak started, they've won 15 of the last 17 games. So they're still doing a bang up job.
Let's play the White Sox.
Another one of us, like a low market, no money type thing, where every 20 years we might luck out and get to the World Series. Although the Mariners have never got there. So
And then the Yankees will buy your players.
There's going to be somebody coming for Anthony Edwards, too.
In due time. I see we got a shout-out from producer Katie in the chat saying GFC Girls Tennis beat Fargo North 6-3.
I don't want to hear Central shit tennis. Out of Katie if she's not in the studio.
See, we got a new listener, Sarah, in the chat saying hello. So hello to her.
I was looking forward to Katie showing up tonight so the Pina Colada girls would be together.
Yeah, Katie's been on her own thing lately. She's doing her thing.
Tennis,
yeah.
Well, she graduated. She has been.
Yeah, I'm not. It's summer though, so I don't think she's in school.
Yeah, they're done tomorrow. They're done for the year.
Yeah.
Katie says, hello, Dale, Bill, Ray, Supersonic Steve, maybe Paul. Paul stepped out for a little bit.
Oh, I get my own up there. See that?
Katie says, oh,
so yeah. She was on the show early, wasn't she?
Well, she's like a producer and been running all the equipment for years, and then her and Raven did this chick thing for a little while, and then
the chick thing. Nice, thanks, Monty.
All right, well,
thanks.
I liked it. And they still do.
I'm not following you, but that's okay.
And she stopped it.
No, they used to do this Saturday podcast thing where they were.
I'm still down for it.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. But no, I.
So is she head coach at Central, or assistant?
That's a good question.
Katie? I don't think so. No, I don't think so.
I thought I saw in the paper that somebody else.
She's just the top tennis girl in town, basically. I think she could.
But she's got a cousin or something that plays on the team too.
Yeah. Yep. I know. Yeah. They rock.
She's super sports girl, yeah. But no, she's been in here a little bit lately, gracing us with her presence.
Some of those games.
Yeah,
and
she's made the sports show a few times. She's video hung magic. Out here with us.
I remember, it was earlier on or something. I don't know. I could be wrong. But
yeah, no, she used to be here all the time. Yeah, just like Dale. Dale, but then when Dale's book club's kicks in, and we miss him too.
Looks like Katie's saying, I'm back coaching for a few weeks once the season is over, end of May. Ray and I will reunite.
Yeah, so anytime Dale goes off to his book club, we're going to talk wrestling all night long.
Yeah, hey, Monty, I got one thing to say.
A half hour talking about wrestling. I'm not going to forget about that.
That was, oh my goodness. Oh, yeah.
So, Monty, I'm reading a book about Larry Bird.
Never heard of him.
No, he was a guy from French Lick. Pretty good player. Yep. White guy.
Yep.
Could shoot a little bit. Yep. Won a couple national championships. Not a bad player.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, if you get a chance and you and Mama Bear, order his book. I'm not really a big book reader or anything. I mean, I read them if I like them. If I don't, if I can't catch it in the first 20 pages, I'm out. You know,
Yeah,
I'm just one of those guys. So anyway, Shark hooks me up with this book, Larry Bird, and I'm infatuated with it because, I mean, the guy has got so many stories. And, you know, I grew up actually thinking he was the greatest player of all time. And still do, actually. But the book would find very interesting.
Oh, yeah.
If you're a book reader. I don't know if you are or not.
No, I am. Well, the law degree and all. I read plenty of books. The last actually sports book I read was a book that Bill gave me on Pete Rose that kind of pissed me off a little bit.
Okay. Because of his gambling and stuff? Yeah, or
something like that, yeah.
Getting away with it or not getting away with it.
Well, I just, you know, the way Grant gambling is going these days, I think his stuff was kind of minor compared to what's going on now. And you know, he's the all-time hit leader in all of fucking baseball. He won the World Series with two different teams. He was an all-star at like, what, five different positions, right?
Third?
Left field, second, first base,
first, left field,
So I'm like, you can't tell me he's not a Hall of Famer, when you know you go back to the Ty Cobbs or you know when we're looking at the steroid issue. I don't know. What do you think of the steroid issue there?
I have a hard time with it.
I got Keith on, and you know, I like to I like to stun him a little bit.
Yeah, you stun me
because he's a race guy, but but I know he covers those sports too, and he knows what's going on there, and he watched that era, the Sammy Sosa, the Mark McGwire, the Barry Bash Bonds, brothers. And all that bullshit, and then you're gonna penalize a guy way back there like Pete Rose, who. you know, I don't know, put a separate wing into the Hall of Fame.
The steroid gambling wing?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, the roulette wheel wing.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I just, you can't, you take eras of sports and it was what it was.
I mean,
Roger Clemens was part of that steroid era. Yep. And you still look at him as one of the most dominant pitchers that ever pitched, right?
Well, shit, half the Mariners were on steroids back in the, you know, with Lou Piniera, you know, all of them, you know.
Well, even, yeah, but the left coast is always on drugs.
Bingo. Yeah. No, I can't disagree with that.
We call Denver the mile get high city, you know, and that's not even the West Coast, you know. That's a
Paul. We're just getting close. You're just getting warmed up.
That's the Paul Allen term, you know. What do you think? What do you think, Raven? The mile get high city.
No, I never
really
heard
have
that
anything
one
to say on it.
You ever been to Denver?
No.
Oh my God.
Well, actually, I take that back. I have. I went through there on a road trip with my mom, and we stopped at McDonald's. And this McDonald's was the worst fast food restaurant I've ever been in my entire life. There were people sleeping in every bench and every table. There was trash scattered on the floor. You're scattered everywhere. Like, you were kicking trash walking to order. And some guy
How many
was
years ago? How many
throwing
years ago?
A chair at the lady like that worked there. We never stopped in Denver again. Gosh.
Sounds like that Waffle House clip where they show so much.
It was actually that. Literally.
You know what I'm talking about?
Literally, it was that. But it was just, it was homeless city. It looked like a freaking homeless shelter.
Ooh.
I think
so right after
Sonic seen some worse
So right after the McDonald's, you went to the dispensary?
Oh God, no, we drove right through that shit. Oh my God.
No, I'm kidding. Uh oh, I'm in trouble now.
Yes, you are.
What'd you do now, bro? Come on, jeez. What'd you do wrong?
Well, we have an ad to do and Sandra just
Sandy's
walked in.
Sandy's going to do it.
Yeah, she's doing the ad.
Oh,
you're doing the ad.
Shit, you're in trouble.
All right.
Tell her we said hi from the left coast.
The left coast says hi. Who's got the microphone over there?
She's ready for...
Monty, you
Where's your
Monty,
paper?
You have the ad copy right underneath your papers.
Oh, that's not... Oh. You ever seen this before? Here it comes.
Okay, are you ready?
Sandy's in the house.
River Cinnamon
get it closer
15
to Bill.
In the Shire
the
Bar.
There.
I don't need to be in the camera. Make the River Cinema 15 in the Shire Bar and Grill your next dinner at a movie destination in the River Mall in East Grand Forks. Either dine inside or inside the movie memorabilia packed restaurant. The Shire... Or take your meal to the movie you're attending. Some of this week's features attractions are Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, The Fall Guy, Challengers, The Civil War, and Godzilla and Arthur the King. Find the complete showtimes online at rivercinema15.com. Don't forget about the Tuesday $5 movie special all day long. And the $5.50 senior matinee special on Wednesdays and Thursdays. The River Cinema has luxury recliners and expanded concessions that now serve adult beverages and is family owned and operated. Don't forget to make River Cinema 15 and the Shire Bar and Grill your next outing.
Now that's how you should read it.
Heck yeah.
Oh, okay. You run through that
so
thing.
You
like,
and I
what?
Can do the senior citizens now.
What?
Like you're high on caffeine or something. You got to get it done in 10 seconds.
Yeah, well, Bill's finally old enough for the senior matinees, everyone.
So am I. We're going to have to go back.
Well, at least I didn't eat his cupcake.
Say that one more time. I'm leaving. One more time, Monty.
Hey, Monty.
I know we're kind of down to our last about 10-ish minutes or so. We should see if Keith has any topics. He drove all the way down here. Any topics he wanted to make sure we get in before the show wraps?
No, you want me to mention wrestling? Is that what you're hitting at?
There's wrestling.
Hey, it's all up to you,
or motorsports, or
it's all up to you.
Wrestling and Thief Forever this weekend.
Yes,
it?
I seen that Saturday night.
Yeah, and what Fargo is? Too. I think.
Fargo. Yeah.
Fargo too.
Yeah,
wrestling.
Yeah, indie
friendversary or whatever they.
Yeah,
call it.
Beyond Zero Wrestling in Fargo at the Sanctuary, and then Destination Pro Wrestling at the Ralph Engelstad Arena in Thief River Falls.
Kurt Angle's supposed to be in Thief River.
Yep. Yeah.
Is Sylvester Fox up to his shenanigans this weekend somewhere?
I think he'll be in Fargo.
In Fargo.
But I saw him. He was on the ad too for the one in Thief River.
Oh man. He'll be in both at the same time and do a little road trip.
I don't know if he can do that.
Oh, wow. Well, Keith, what's been standing out to you in wrestling lately?
After WrestleMania, I'm kind of glad that some of the championships changed hands. I really don't like seeing one person hold a title for 3 years and then only wrestling part-time.
Yeah, every 2 or 3 months.
Yeah.
Isn't there an event coming up in St. Paul here pretty quick?
Like a WWE show?
Yeah.
Oh,
at the XL Center.
They usually go there like three or
it
four times,
be,
like two
might
or three
be September, but
they usually go there like 2 or 3 times a year to the cities. Yeah. About
or for a taping or something, or a live show.
Yeah, they put on a great show. I saw a pay per view in the cities before, and
well, you keep telling us you're going to be WrestleMania.
No, that's in Vegas.
No, yeah, it was expected. They just announced this past week. It was highly anticipated that Minneapolis. It's been in the news that they've been putting together an offer. For a big bid to get WrestleMania in the Twin Cities for next year. And they just announced, Keith, I don't know if you want to say the news, that they...
Going to Las Vegas.
Las Vegas did a last-minute bid to outbid the cities, and WrestleMania is going to Vegas next year.
Like third week in April?
Sounds about right.
A couple weeks later than normal?
If you think they would have made it to the cities, would you have went?
No.
I know I would have. Even if it was a crappy seat for like $800. Oh, gosh. Heck, yeah.
You could see much more on pay-per-view.
Yeah. No. I made it to one quite a few years back. So I was like, I'm in the same boat. It was an okay seat, not a great seat, but it was for way too much than I wanted to pay for. And I kind of checked it off the bucket list. I'm like, all right, yeah, I'm with you. Just watch them on pay per view.
I worked with a guy who went to WrestleMania 30 in New York City by himself.
That was a good one to go to. Daniel Bryan winning it all.
I don't know.
No,
I don't remember the card, but
okay.
To go to New York City by yourself.
Well, he's got to have a lot of confidence in his security.
When I was at the rodeo the other night, there was a guy sitting next to me that had a WrestleMania sweatshirt on. Now, can you order those?
You get them at the event. You can order them online, too.
Well, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Because I said something to make it sound like, he was there. And he kind of, I don't know, he really heard me or not for sure, but I couldn't figure out if he was really there or not.
Whoa. What do you mean you could? He really heard you. You know, Bill, I've been with you to sporting events.
Yeah.
you were heard.
Yeah. If you said something and he didn't acknowledge you, he was ignoring you because he didn't want to beat you up.
Maybe.
Or vice versa.
Well, no, I'm being kind. Bill intimidates folks like you wouldn't believe. Yeah.
I don't doubt that a bit, man.
If I saw him in public, he wouldn't be intimidating at all. Except for that one time that you screamed at kids because they were walking in front of us at the hockey game.
That's what I'm talking about, though. That's exactly what I'm talking about. He will say things that, like, really?
I wish I caught that on video because it was so out of pocket. Like, it was just so random.
Yeah.
And he scared, he didn't scare me, but those kids had to use the bathroom immediately.
They darted off.
Oh, my gosh. Oh,
gosh.
Paul likes to go to basketball games with me because I talk to the opposing team.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's, no.
No, yeah. Bill,
I just
five
made
feet
suggestions.
Away. Paul, or yeah, Bill was 5 feet away from the other team and just yelled at him, go home! I thought it was the greatest thing of all time.
No, I've been to plenty games with this guy, and he's a thrill a minute.
I got a
motorsport question for you. What'd you say to me earlier? That was a nice way of putting that.
Yeah, yeah. That's what it is.
That's why we love him. That's why we love the guy.
Yeah, I'm like just hanging in there, being normal, and then he'll say something that just I'm ducking into the crowd.
Sandy's taking your cupcake.
Did you ever have to step up or step away?
You know, he's a big enough personality that. No, I think that I'd rather support him than back away.
That'd be a good idea. Yeah. Step up, don't step away.
No, he's a legend up here, and he always will be, and that's that. That's how that goes.
Enough said.
We're never going to be shying away from the Shavon. What was his name? That. Defensive back.
Oh.
Mackey. Shavon Mackey.
Was he number four? Was he?
I don't
know.
Why
does every, sportsman have a weird name? Well, I've been noticing that. They've had such... Can you turn the knob, please? They have such odd names. You don't ever... Tom Brady is the most normal name I've ever heard... on a sports team. And his name is two first names, which is so that in itself is weird. But you got a bunch like Shavon
Mackey.
Yeah.
Rudy Gobert.
Yeah.
What we saw with Shavon Mackey mostly
Gronkowski
was the back of his jersey as he was a defensive back. And he was chasing the wide receiver to the end zone.
We call that toast.
Yeah, he was toast. And then he would come back to the sideline and chew everybody else out on the sideline.
I want to know who has a normal name, though.
Baba.
Baba Shriver.
Baba?
Don't start this.
Baba wished me a happy birthday today.
He always does. He always does. You know, he thinks you're a hero.
Well, he's right.
He hasn't went out.
He's seen all that. Bubba's
never been. Has he ever been out drinking with you?
No, I don't think so. He's seen my work on film. He's got plenty of it still.
Oh, I know.
Wishes he had one.
Bill's a linebacker running over people.
I should have been a linebacker. I should have been a tight end, is what I should have been. Hmm.
Money, down to our last few minutes.
Well, I think you did just fine, whatever you did. You did pretty good.
Oh, no, he was
good.
A hero. Well,
what else do you want?
The Rangers have tied up the Carolina Hurricanes 1-1 in Carolina tonight. You know, it's been mayhem in the Madison Square Garden the last week and a half or so because...
Oh, man.
Because the Rangers... won in double overtime the other night in Madison Square Garden to go up 2-0 on Carolina. The Rangers are 6-0 in the playoffs. And then the New York Knicks won last night in Madison Square Garden. You know, they're putting the basketball court down over the top of the hockey arena, right?
Yeah.
They pull out the boards. That's going on not only in New York in Madison Square Garden, but it's going on in Boston. The Boston Bruins and the Boston Celtics. It's going on in Colorado with the Denver Nuggets and the Colorado Avalanche. It's going on in Dallas with the Dallas Mavericks and the Dallas Stars. So I'm waiting for the story where the condensation is coming through the floor of the NBA and guys are getting hurt, putting those floors down, especially down south in
where it's hot.
Dallas.
Yeah.
But there's usually 6 inches of foam insulation between the ice and the floor.
Has that ever happened before?
It has. I mean, it has. Yeah. It has.
Yep.
But now Keith is being the rational guy over here.
They've had a fog.
Well, somebody's got to keep you guys in line.
They've had a fog in games like they had in that one football game. Remember that one football game that was just completely fogged over?
Oh, with the Bears and
Eagles? Yeah.
I'm not sure who it was.
It was a playoff game.
But I mean,
it was like
it looked like a blizzard out there. You couldn't see anything.
Who in the fuck is talking about football?
Keith.
We're in May. God damn it, Bill.
Well, I'm saying it happened in hockey, too, because of the same thing.
I give this guy shit once.
You open it up a little bit, and the fucking took over.
Yeah. Keith and I are on the same wavelength.
We're the Raiders today. We're talking about Raiders. Why are we talking about the Raiders?
We took a tight end.
I will say about the Raiders, they got Minshew. I like that. Yeah. That was a good call on there.
Dale, what are you trying to say?
I was just going to say, we're down our last few minutes here. Final topics before we wrap everything up today. And we should also say, Keith was in the GFBS studios earlier today. You're on the guest on Dirty Thursday this week, along with Terry Blacklance. Talking, I highly recommend everyone go check it out. Talking all about Greenbush Race Park, on how it's on a little bit of a hiatus this season, but it was a great show because just helping keep everyone aware that, hey, it's not going anywhere. Stay tuned for future seasons. Yeah. So, yeah, Keith, final thoughts for any topic?
Racing opens this weekend locally. Friday night, River City Speedway. Saturday in Devil's Lake. Sunday in Glendon.
Racing season is here. Are you going to be hitting up any tracks this weekend?
No, I'll probably catch a live stream tomorrow night from River Cities.
Heck yeah.
That open wheel?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, you think that track announcer out there in Devil's Lake is going to make it?
Well, for all of our sake, yeah, I hope he does. I hope he gets along with his bosses.
Yeah. He's kind of a...
I hear that guy's a goofball.
Well, no.
Well, the announcer or the boss?
I heard he's kind of needy, is what I heard.
That guy's a total dweeb, that announcer over there. Yeah. Yep.
Raven, have you heard anything about that guy?
Nope.
Nope. I heard he was like a bruised banana.
Oh, God.
Oh, jeez.
Oh,
God. I don't know what he did to you, but
Did he eat your cupcake?
Yeah, no.
Good night, folks. Good night.
All right, my friends, it's been a great weekend evening. I appreciate everything.
That was fun.
And happy birthday to Bill.
Oh, thank you.
Dude, hey, you're a legend, and you don't even know it, but that's cool.
70 next year.
Oof.
You only got me by 2 years, so I'm catching up, man. I'm catching up. You were a senior when I was a sophomore.
All right.
So I was chasing your ass around.
I guess.
What's that?
I wanted to be better than that dude. All right. Take care, guys.
Okay. See you, Steve.
Anything all right. else
from
anyone before we wrap?
Well, we had
Bye, Steve.
Raven, any more about your horse?
Nope.
Bill, any more about the Raiders? No. We're not talking. No more football. No more football.
And then Keith, Raymond Chester.
Yeah, Raymond Chester, the beast. All right, so hey. and Keith, thanks for the pizza and coming in here. And
thanks for losing so I could get it.
Thanks for losing.
We're picking so bad.
Yeah. All right, we tried.
That was fun. Hey, we love doing that each year. So. Yeah.
Dale.
I will say real quick, phenomenal F1 race last weekend. Max Verstappen finally got out raced after like 3 years. Everyone should check out at least the highlights for that. Phenomenal race. No time to get into it now, but yeah, great stuff. Back to you, Monty.
All right. Well, that's all I got. Like I said, I put as much into that Kentucky Derby as I possibly could. New York Knicks are on top of the world. New York Rangers are on top of the world. Yeah. I'm on top of the world.
Did Sandy win any money
over there, huh?
Did Sandy win any money?
$300.
No, she had $10 to win bets, and they didn't pan out. Oh. Close, but no cigar. Although they did bring up, you brought it up, Bill.
Uh-oh.
She is one of the biggest winners in the racing history. She put, back in 25 years ago, Kentucky Derby, a horse called Charismatic. And she put $5 to win on Charismatic, 31 to 1. What a $156 payout on a horse that I was telling her no chance. No goddamn chance.
A nag.
Yeah. And Charismatic is one of the biggest odd winners that's ever existed in the racing of Kentucky Derby. Right next to Rich Strike from a couple years ago, which was a little about 84 to 1. But Charismatic was one of those horses that actually won two of the three legs of the Triple Crown and then broke its foot in the third race. Otherwise, it'd been a Triple Crown winner.
What did rumors look like that day?
25 years ago?
No, this is the last Saturday.
I didn't come out here.
Well, I know, but you must have heard from somebody.
Well, other than those the people from Buffalo,
yeah,
it was a crowd. I don't know. I won't even get into that. But that's so. I don't. You know, when it comes to horse racing, as much as I know, sometimes people that just take a educated guess, and you might be better. And she was.
Well, that's the fun of it, though, yeah, too, right?
That's what it is. So thank you for tuning into tonight's Fork Sports Highway. Catch us live every Thursday night at 6:30 right here on Grand Forks Best Source Live on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Twitch, and now partnering on Millions. Find our past shows by searching GFBS on your favorite podcast or social media apps. That's all for tonight. We'll see you next week. And do we have any Brew Brothers tonight?
Yep.
Yes, Brew Brothers at 9 p.m. Tune into them. Learn about all the best
craft beers.
Yeah, that's the term. There you go.